Wow, welcome again for All Saints Sunday. Wow, we are in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and we are looking to the cloud. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, we're looking at the cloud, or up to the cloud this morning. Heard this true story, a couple years ago. The Pope Francis, was supposed to be speaking from the balcony at St. Peter's at the Vatican, and the crowd had gathered, and the Pope didn't appear for the longest time, and the crowd began to get nervous, and then the fire department showed up, and the police department, and everybody was worried about the Pope. They didn't know what happened. Well, the Pope finally made it to that balcony at St. Peter's that's so famous. Come to find out that the Pope took the elevator up to the top floor where he goes, and the battery for the elevator ran out of power. And so he was trapped midway up there, and the fire department had to arrive and to extract him. Well, of course, as you can imagine, the journalists were making all kinds of theological hay about this. But one particular journalist captured it in a perfect way, and she said, "Well, you know, the truth is we're all trying to make sure we make it to the top floor and not run out of power." Can you say amen? Oh, man, I think that that really is a great way to walk back into this scripture this morning. Honestly, it's one of my favorite scriptures in all of us, of all the Bible. And this setting this morning for this is this like Olympic theater, because they had an Olympic amphitheaters back then, of a great football game, if you will, or Olympic event. And the image is us looking up to the cloud to receive inspiration for the race that is marked out before us. And so we think about the saints up there this morning as we think about All Saints Sunday. I don't know if there's any Green Bay Packer fans out there. We got a few of them. All right. So their running back, Aaron Jones, not Aaron Rodgers. He's the quarterback. I know. He's great. But there's Aaron Jones. He's a back for them. And I don't know if you followed him, but he's had a great career. He's just a young man. And in the second week of the games on Monday night, he was out there, and he had a necklace. He had a pendant around his neck. And come to find out that it was his father's ashes, and he lost it. He lost the pendant. And so people were wondering, well, what's going on? And so the media tried to look after the game through the television cameras and to find where the pendant fell. And they couldn't find it. And so finally, all the trainers went out there. It was the middle of the night. And looked, and they finally found the pendant in the end zone. Right? And so they gave it to Aaron Jones. And so the media wanted to know, well, my goodness, well, you know, what are you doing with your father's ashes and a pendant around your neck on the football field? And I like what he said. He said, listen, I lost my dad back in April to complications due to COVID. And my dad is my inspiration. He is the person with his greatest integrity, strength, and faith. And I wanted him near me on the field with me to give me inspiration. And hey, at least I lost it in the end zone. Out of sense of humor. Well, the trainers were so inspired by that that they knit a little pocket inside Aaron Jones's jersey so he can keep that pendant right above his heart. That's powerful, isn't it? Let me ask you this morning, whose ashes are close to your heart this morning who inspires you with their strength, with their integrity, and with their faith? I think the writer of Hebrews would be inspired by that too, because the writer of Hebrews wants us to look up at the sky. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Faith, where the writer goes through all these great saints of old and says that they're watching down from on high, looking at us, and they're cheering us on as we run this race. And so we talk about the cloud a lot today for what? For security, for memory, all these computer stuff. But the writer of Hebrews says, look to the cloud for inspiration they're cheering you on. Anybody watch the Purdue game yesterday? If you're wondering why I'm just a little bit hoarse. Oh, my daughter went to the game. I was going to go, and then I thought it was going to be too cold. Oh, what a wimp I was, right? I didn't realize it was going to be historic. But let me tell you, I was cheering so loud at home because I can hear the game. I'm only 5 minutes from the stadium. I can hear the stadium. I think they could hear me down at the stadium. So I am a little hoarse from cheering for that. But, you know, the players love cheering them on, don't they? Particularly when things are getting tough. And so this writer of Hebrews is giving us this powerful image and says, you know, sometimes we all lose a little bit of energy. We all grow weary in the race that is before us. So the writer says, look up to the clouds for inspiration. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to throw off everything that hinders. And I love what is said here. It said, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I don't know if you've run any race. I did the Air Force Marathon. I only did the 10K. I was a wimp. But it'd been a while since I ran. And honestly, the 10K, it was virtual. I did it on my treadmill, but I still did it. But, you know, honestly, when you're training, sometimes you put on weights. I didn't do this. I was just, you know, trying to make it through. But when you're training for the big race, the Olympic athletes, the track and field, and sometimes the football players too, when they're running, they'll put on weights on their back. But when they actually run the real race, they put aside those weights. And that goes back to the Olympic times too. And so that first thing, everything that hinders, actually literally means weights. So let me ask you today, what is weighing you down that's unnecessary? It may not even be bad, okay, but what is unnecessary for the race that really counts in faith and life? I think the writer of Hebrews would challenge us to just throw that off. And then the other thing there is put aside the sin, and that's so easily entangled. So you know what sin is. Those are the things that sometimes it's not big, it's just little stuff, little ways that we miss the mark, that we're not quite on target there, like the Olympic archers to be on target, but also what entangles. And that really is literally the distractions. What are the things that are distracting you from the things that are most important? We always talk about keeping first things first, but it's so important in racing to be able to focus and to just lay aside the weights. Lay aside the weights and the things that entangle us and to run the race. I love what the Apostle Paul, who later in life, is writing from a prison in Rome. And he's writing what we believe may be his last letter to Timothy, and it may be the last letter that he ever wrote before he would go before Caesar and to give his testimony of faith and to give his life for the faith. And he's looking forward to that, actually. And he writes young Timothy, his sort of son in the faith that he's adopted, that he's mentored along the way. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, I fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award for me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed and loved for his appearing. Man, what an inspiration of faith. Paul says, I've run that race. I've given it everything I have. I'm not giving up yet because I still have one more lap to go before Caesar and to give my testimony and to give my life for the faith. But I want to be an inspiration to you. So Timothy can look to Paul and say, man, you know, that is a person that I can emulate. That is a person I can run after. That is a person one day that I can look up to the clouds and be inspired by. And then the final thing is to run with perseverance. To run with perseverance. You know, someone once said, and I like this, life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Can you say amen? I mean, you think you could probably say that out of the pandemic now. The pandemic's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's been a marathon, and a marathon is tiring. Some of the things that will help you in a sprint just won't help you in a marathon. And a sprint is great. I mean, I admire great sprinters, but it's a beauty to see someone who can run the distance and do it so incredibly well. And so to run with perseverance, not just fast, but long and hard through the heat, through the challenges, through the hills, and through the valleys, and to give it everything that you've got. If you've been around here for very long, you may recall that my favorite track and field star is a woman by the name of Allison Felix, and she's up here. And she's fabulous, and she is an inspiration, a woman of tremendous faith. And she was always a great sprinter. Back in 2004 and 2008, her first Olympics, she did well, but she didn't medal. She didn't do quite what she thought she would, but she did not give up. So along comes 2012, and she just started to shine and to bring in the medals, gold and silver, and she was phenomenal. Some of her races are the 200 meters. She does the relay 100 and the relay 400, and she just was a shining star and also stood up for her faith. And she became, of course, the Sports Spectrum Female Athlete of the Year, if you follow that as a Christian, not just an athlete. And then she did amazing in 2016, brought in all these golds, and again, stood for what was right, and she was sponsored by Nike, all these kinds of things. But then in 2018, she became pregnant. And people said, well, she's never going to run again. I mean, you know. And Nike dropped her as a sponsor, you know, didn't think she was quite the model that they wanted her to be, but she was proud of that. In 2018, she had an emergency C-section to have her daughter, whose name is Cameron. And once again, people said, there's no way this gal is ever going to run again. But she said, I don't think so. And so she started running again. Nike wouldn't sponsor her, so she started her own line of shoes. You got to like that, right? She says, I don't need Nike to define me. So she started her own line of shoes. And then in May of 2021, this past year, she surprised everyone, qualified for the Olympics, and just did amazing. Well, if you followed her at the Olympics, she shattered the records, did an amazing thing, and she shattered the 200 and the 100 relay, the 400 relay, and was just amazing. This as a mother, her young daughter was there, and she became the greatest medalist in Olympic history in track and field for male or females, and the greatest medalist in Olympic history for women. And that is just amazing, because it's amazing not just because she's a runner, but for all that she went through, all that she persevered through. And as I'm thinking about her, I'm thinking, you know, there's something else about her. She's got some people that inspire her, because faith is a big part of her life. God's word is a big part of that too. But I'm thinking to myself, maybe she's thinking about the younger generation. She's thinking about her daughter, Cameron, who will now remember that she saw her mother run and win those Olympic records and set Olympic history in an amazing way. And I think for our own selves, sometimes we have to sort of do a check and look in the mirror and say, not only who am I looking to be inspired by, but who's going to look to me? Am I running the kind of race that people can look to me and say, hey, I want to be like them. I want to live the kind of life that my daughter can look at me and say, my dad inspires me. I know that many of you out there feel that way as moms and dads and say, who's looking to me? Maybe you're a coach out there. Maybe you're just working in school, or you're teaching in school, or whatever you're doing, and you want to say, who's looking at me to see how I'm running the race? Not just if I'm getting by, not just if I'm doing the basics, but am I really running with every single thing, every ounce of energy that I have? Today, you may feel like you are just flagging in the faith, like you're running out of power and not sure if you're going to reach the top floor like the Pope. But I think the writer of Hebrews would encourage us to look to the cloud, to see the saints of old, the saints from the Bible, but also the saints from here in our family of faith, and across the world in our family of faith, and to be inspired by them, to hear the crowd cheering from heaven, cheering us on as we face the hills and valley and the heat of race that is all about endurance. And then I think we would think about, you know, whose ashes are close to our hearts, whose pendant we keep right there, that we know that close to our heart is someone who inspires us. But then also, are we running the kind of race that our sons and daughters and our grandkids will say, man, they live the life. They live the life of faith. They accomplish things, not just in the career world, but in the world of faith. They set an example. They were a shining light. I'll close with this thought, which is back in the original Olympics, I wasn't around for that, but I do know, as I'm thinking about this image from the original Olympic theater, that in the original marathons, that the runners would run with a torch that was lit. And they had to run all that 27-some miles with the torch lit. And it wasn't just the first runner that crossed the finish line that won. It was the first runner that crossed the finish line with their torch lit that won. Friends, it's not just about crossing the finish line. It's about crossing the finish line with our torch held high and our faith lit strong. Amen? Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this Sunday when we honor the saints in our lives, we pray that you'd help us to look to them, to inspire us, and to even hear them cheering from heaven's home. And Lord, we pray also that we would live the kind of lives of faith that people would be inspired by. Our children, our grandchildren, those that we impacted, school or work or wherever we are, we pray this in God's name. And everybody said, amen.